The word that God has given us today is John chapter 6, verse 38 to 39. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. And let us look also in Acts chapter 20, verse 20 to 24. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. God is the one in authority. He is the sovereign God. That he calls as he wishes, and he sends off as he wishes. So he calls as he wishes, and he sends off as he wishes. So he makes those who are faithful to come before him, and he makes them serve him. So it says in Psalms that he seeks those who are faithful, and he allows them to serve me by my side. Our faith is believing in Jesus, and by believing in him, it is knowing that I am a worker of Jesus. And if you believe in this, then you have to, if you believe in Jesus, then you have to believe that I am his worker. Just as it says in 2 Corinthians, we are his workers. I'm the one who has received his work to do. In John chapter 9, it says that now it is day, I will do the work that I have been sent for. So those who know Jesus Christ and those who have received the calling, who have been sent from Jesus, are those who have been given a mission, who have been given work. And so our faith life is putting our lives on the line to do the work that he has sent me for. So today's sermon, sending and mission, to have that determination to do the work that I've been sent for, we call it mission, ministry. So we are speaking about sending and mission today, but before that, we need to be called first. And so when we say we have been called, we say we have been called by grace. So say amen if you have been called by grace. And so it is not that we were up in the mountains trying to find a way of life and we were called. It's not that, but we have been called by his grace and we have come to believe. And so I spoke about it last week. Those who have been called by grace, they know who the one who has called me is, and we know the work that he has given me. And if I know this, then you say amen and determine, resolve to be sent by him. So those who are sent, they have this sense of mission. And there are organizations that send off people, which is the army. Soldiers are called by the nation. But nowadays, people voluntarily become soldiers. And because there are people who volunteer, they wait for volunteers to come and serve. And that's why nations fail. People need to be drafted. People need to be called to serve. If you know your nation, you need to realize what that nation is to me. And so when people are drafted, when such people who have value for their nation, when they are drafted, they go very proudly. And these days, American soldiers, after they are discharged, they say that daily, 1 out of 200 commit suicide. That's very shameful for the nation, because no matter what difficulty that they must have experienced. If they know who called them and if they have the determination to do the work for what they have been called for, no matter what they experienced, no matter what hurt that they experienced, the fact that they are committing suicide shows that they have not been truly called. So America and the whole world has changed. So soldiers, when they when they first enter the army, they are trained. They all change their clothes out, and they are trained to obey to commands, and they are trained mentally. And so they are taught what is a nation and what is the work of a citizen of a nation. And so they educate them. They educate them as well as train them with weapons to be able to handle weapons out in war zones, battle zones. And so when their training is done, they are sent out into their units. And each units are sent, they are sent into units, and they act according to the rules and regulations of their unit. And so they are also sent off to overseas to places like Afghanistan. But when they are sent, so to those who have finished their training, there is something that they are promised. The soldiers are promised that all these things you are doing for an honorable nation. And so whether you live, whether you die, it is for the U.S., the United States. And so they make this determination to serve for the U.S. And so if they return alive, it'll be honorable. And even if you don't return alive, it'll still be honorable. And so they are told, the soldiers are told, you will never be left behind. And they say that whether you return with an honorable living body or whether you don't make it alive, we will let you return honorably, even if you die, because you have served for the nation. And so even in the world, if it is an upright nation, they will do such things. They will serve their soldiers in the right way. And so the soldiers fight with this strong determination, this strong will to return alive. And even if they are not able to pass down prosperity, they fight with the determination to hand down an honorable name. But on the other side, after they have finished their duty and they have returned, if they return alive, it is most honorable. But if there is a soldier who runs away in the middle of his duty, it is very shameful. And so it is a great disgrace, and they would have to serve. It is so disgraceful that they should serve the rest of their life in jail. But if there was a time when everything is, all the nations have set their rules and their laws centered around the Bible. And so the Bible is speaking about being sent. And why did God create angels? God created angels in order for them to serve before God. And according to God's needs, God sends them off. And in the Bible, it says it in multiple times that when the angels have come before men, they say, "I have been sent from God." And so to Mary as well, when he delivered the message that that she will bear the Son of God, he said, "I have come to give you good news." And in many places, they deliver this message, and angels also have been sent to men to deliver the message of messages of revelation. And so angels who are sent, they are to return to God as well. But there was a problem, because among the angels, there was an angel who was most beautifully created, and one who had many skills. There was the archangel Luciel, and he had the skills of singing. And when he looked on himself, he had so much skills, he had so much ability, and he was so beautiful. And he thought to himself, how much longer shall I praise God? And in his heart, he thought to himself, I will be like God. And in the Bible, it says that he left his domain on his own. So he was not sent off, but on his own, he left his domain by having in his heart that he will be like God, that he will sit on the throne of God, And because of that, he was thrown into the darkness to be imprisoned for eternity until the day of the great judgment, in order for God to send him into hell for eternity. And so the angels who were sent would return to God surely, but those who left their domain on their own, they could never return. And he showed this through the event of Luciel. And even all mankind, even amongst all mankind, the similar events have happened. Adam, he was tempted by the devil, the angel who fell, Luciel and Lucifer. And God told, devil tempted Adam, saying, do you know why God said, do not eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It is because you will be like God. Your eyes will be open, but like God. And so because Eve was deceived and she gave the fruit to the man to eat as well, they listened to the words of the devil. And because they fell into the deception of the devil, God did not leave them alone, but he cast them out of the Garden of Eden, and they have been destined to go to hell with the devil. And so knowing this, with this, God also gave a revelation that he will save his people through the Israelites. And so the Israelites were serving in slavery in Egypt for 430 years. And just as he promised to the ancestors of Israelites, God called Moses. And he called Moses, and to Moses he said, You will call my people out of Egypt. So God said to Moses that I am giving you a mission, and that mission is to set free my people from Egypt. And so God gave him a mission. And already at that time, Moses was at the age of 80. And so if he was to return to Egypt, because he sinned in Egypt, he murdered an Egyptian when he was living in Egypt. And because of that, if he returned to Egypt, he would be punished for it. But God said to Moses, I will send you to set my people free. And so Moses said, how can I go? He said, if I tell Pharaoh to let them go, will they go? And if I tell my people, if I tell your people to come, will they come? And so Moses, he was in fear and he made excuses. And so he said, because I am so old and I cannot speak well, and my body is weak. And he gave many, many excuses. And when he did, God answered each and every one of his excuses. And he said, aren't I the one who has given you a mouth to speak? I will give you the words to speak. And so in the end, eventually, Moses listened to the word of God, and he said, well, who am I to say that who sent me for them to listen to me? And so when Moses said, who shall I say that that sent me? And God said, I am Jehovah. I am who I am, that I am the creator. I am the self-existing God. I am the creator. And when he said, I will make you do great works, he had nothing else to say. And if they ask, God said, if they ask you, the one who has sent me is the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. And so Moses went in, and from then on, he met with Pharaoh, and he said, the God of our ancestors, he will send his people to the promised land. And so Moses, he returned to Egypt after many years, so now he is old. In the past, he left Egypt when he was very young, but after 40 years, he returned, and now he's an elderly man. And so they probably thought, oh, now this old man has come, and I could just kill him with one swing of the sword. But Pharaoh said to Moses, what is the evidence? What is the evidence that Jehovah sent you? And from then on, Moses showed the 10 commands. He showed the 10 plagues and showed that Jehovah sent him. And so in the end, Pharaoh he thought to himself after the 10 plagues that this nation is going to be destroyed. And he raised his hands up and let them go. And so the works and the miracles, by showing all these incredible miracles and his works, the reason why Moses returned so courageously is because someone has sent him. Jehovah, that God of the ancestors that they're talking about, he has sent Moses. And so Pharaoh let them go, and the Israelites didn't want to leave, but they listened and they followed after Moses. And so Moses, because they believed that Moses was sent by God, they followed after Moses, and they passed through the Red Sea, and they walked into the desert. And it was not, this didn't happen over just one day or 2 days, but it was so difficult so that they thought to themselves, is this right? Are we truly, did God truly send Moses? Can Moses truly lead us to this promised land? Are we just suffering for nothing? They thought to themselves, oh, we've been deceived. Let's just go return to Egypt. And there were people who were challenging to and complaining and grumbling. And every time they complained and grumbled, they were put to death. And so, including men and women and children, women, all the men who died, every time that they complained, they were put to death. So all of them were put to death except for two. So among the over 200,000 people, all of them died except for two. And no one was able to go into the promised land except for the two. And what did they not believe? They didn't believe that Moses was a man that God has sent. Until the end, they didn't believe this. Someday they would believe, and sometimes they won't believe again, and back and forth. And so if Jehovah sent him, then if we were to go to the promised land that God has promised us, then why do we have to go through the desert? And they would complain and grumble, and they were put to death. And so, but these two people who had faith, in the end, they entered into the promised land. And as they lived in that, in the land of Canaan, along with the Gentiles, they didn't realize how their nation came to live in this promised land. And in the Bible, if we truly believe in the Bible that we have, this God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and I, God of Jacob, if they didn't forget where they came from, who they were, then they would have been able to keep their nation well and keep their faith well. But they forgot this, and every time they forgot this, they disappointed God. And every time that they did this, all the nations surrounding them, disaster struck them, their wars. And even though they were a chosen nation, they were going through these difficulties and hardships. And every time they went through it, through prophets, God made them realize this. Prophets are those who were sent from God. Prophets were angels. Prophets were messengers who were sent from God. And so even though they were born just like every other man, they were born from the body of a woman, from a human. But to them, God gave them his word. And God commanded them to speak this and speak that, and whether people liked it or not, because they believed, the Israelites believed that Moses was also sent from God, but now Moses is gone, and now there are prophets, and so they believed that they needed to listen to the words of the prophet in order for their nation to have peace and for them to live comfortably. And because they knew this, they tried to live listening to the prophets, but this stiff-necked nation, they kept on forgetting this, and they kept on going the wrong way and doing the wrong things. And so eventually they lost their rights, their authority, and their nation was divided into two, and the nation was completely dispersed. And during the era of when their nation was taken over by the Romans, there was a last prophet that got sent. It was John the Baptist. And in John 1 verse 7, it says that he was In verse 6, it says that he was a man sent from God, John. And so even though he was born through a human and he is a son of a person, he was called out. He was called out into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he lived in a way different from the rest of the people of the world. And in that wilderness, when he lived his days in the wilderness, he was one who was sent from God. And what he said was, He said to repent. Repent, for heaven is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. And so in the desert, he shouted this out. In the desert where there was no one out there, and his clothes were strange. His clothes were made out of camel hair, and he ate honey and locusts. And so he probably ate honey that came from, that was on the stones and plants. And so when people travel through camels, they probably heard him as they traveled. And they said, oh, there's somebody weird in the desert because someone is shouting out to repent. But he sounds very strange what he's saying. But his voice is something else because it's extremely loud and his outfit is weird. And he is very strange, and he doesn't seem like an ordinary person. And people thought to themselves, looking at him, oh, could he be someone who was sent from God? And so, because he kept on shouting out to repent, he said to them, "Repent! For if you don't repent, then you will face great hardships." And even though people didn't realize what he was saying, they were baptized. And when people were baptized, there were Pharisees who were baptized, and there were people. It was during a time when people were being baptized when they didn't even realize why they were being baptized. And so John said to them, "You brood of vipers! You brood of vipers! Do you think, how can you be baptized without even repenting?" And he said to them, "Don't think that you are children of Abraham." And so because what John was saying had so much authority, they could not say anything back to them and back to John, and they were being baptized. And so they thought to themselves, he is not an ordinary person. And so could he be the prophet that God has sent? Could he be Messiah? And so could he be Christ? And so many people started to follow after him, became his disciples. And in John, it says that in John chapter 1, it says he said very clearly that I am not the Christ. And in John chapter 1, he did not fail to confess, but he said, I am not the Christ that you are waiting for, but I am the one who comes before him. So I have been sent. I have been sent from God, but I am not the Messiah that you are waiting for. I am the one who has come before him. And so he confessed this to them, and he said, I baptize you with water and make you repent, but the one who comes after me, the one who has more power than me, it says that he will baptize you with water and the Holy Spirit, the one who comes after me. So he was sent before him, but he says that there will be one who comes, there will be one who is greater than me who comes after me. And so he said this, saying that there will be one who is sent from God who is coming after me. And so finally, Jesus Christ appeared. And through he was baptized by John the Baptist. And when he was brought up out of water, heaven opened up, and they heard him say, they heard the voice, "This is my son whom I love." And so there was this proclamation. "This is my son whom I love, one I am pleased with." And so who is he? He is the Word who was in the beginning. It is God who came as man. So Jesus Christ, in order to make people to listen to what he is saying and pay attention to him, what Jesus said in order to get their attention was that he went before the temple and said, "Destroy this temple. If you just destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." And so he spoke as it was scheduled in God's schedule. But by saying this, people could not see him as just an ordinary man. But they looked at him and said, oh, who can say such a thing? And they Jesus spoke this in order to get the attention of people. So this is like the Achilles heel of Israel, because he spoke against the temple of Jerusalem, which is like the Achilles heel of Jerusalem. This word that Jesus said was, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. And so why did Jesus say this? He said, destroy this temple. And they said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days. That's a lie. But not only that, but how can you dare? There is no one. There is no one who is above God, and there is no one who can command besides God. And but how can the temple that has this name of God, how can you dare say to destroy this temple? And so because of this, Jesus called much attention to himself. And because there may be new people, let's read the verse in John chapter 2 in verse 19. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days. But the temple he had spoken of was his body. So the temple of his body. So he said, destroy this temple that has been made. He was not speaking of the physical temple that was made by the hands of men, but he was speaking of his body. And so to say to destroy this temple, he was saying to put to death this body. And if you do, I will raise this body in 3 days. And so the meaning, there was a meaning behind what he said. So who do we say that God is? God is the sovereign God. He's the sovereign one. And the name that that Israelites had was the name of Jehovah. So God sent Israel knew that God sent angels and that God sends off prophets. Even though they forgot time to time and they made mistakes and they fell, because God called people and sent prophets, Israel knew of their nation and they knew that they were the chosen nation. But when Jesus said to destroy this temple, the name that was in the name that was in the temple, the name of Jehovah. So we said that Jehovah or God is the sovereign one. He is the one who calls. He calls on his own. He calls and he also sends. And the name of the one who calls and who sends, it is in the temple. But Jesus declared that he will no longer call by the name of Jehovah and start off in the name of Jehovah, but the name that is in his body, Yeshua. Yeshua, by the name of Yeshua, he will call, and by the name of Yeshua, he will send out. And because this was his plan, he said to destroy this temple because the name Jehovah. So in the Old Testament, angels, those who were sent from God in the Old Testament, those who were sent from God were angels. In Luke 1 verse 19, it also says that the angel said to Zechariah that I am Gabriel. So angels were sent by God and they were in the presence of God. So it says, he said that I stand in the presence of God. So they stand in the presence of God and they are sent. So many churches and many denominations, they know the name of God as Jehovah, but that is in the Old Testament when the angels stood in the presence of God and were sent down and they brought that name, Jehovah. So God, the name of God in the Old Testament, the angels who were in the presence of God, and when they were sent and they said, I am speaking in the words of Jehovah, he appeared and he spoke with the name of Jehovah. So then why did Jesus say destroy this temple? Jesus the temple was to be destroyed, and the name that was in Yeshua. Yeshua is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the one and only Son. He is the, in John chapter 1, let's look. In verse 14, So we read the beginning, but verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is at the Father's side has made Him known. So the one who was with God, the Son who was with God, who came, He came with the name of God, and His name was His name is Yeshua. So Jehovah is the name that the angels who stood in the presence of God brought. But Yeshua, the name of God, God did not use that. Angels were not allowed to use that name. But the name Jehovah, that was not allowed to be used by anyone. But in the presence of God, the angels, they when they were sent, they came with the name of Jehovah. But now there was one who was sent from God, who was with God. He is the one and only God. He came as the Son. And that name that He brought is the name Yeshua. And so I am trying to distinguish the two names. Was the name brought by an angel? They were both sent, angels and the Son. They were both sent by God. But angels were servants who were in the presence of God. But Jesus, the Son, He was with the God. He was in the Father's bosom. He is the one and only Son. He is God. So the Word became flesh and God became flesh. And so God Himself, when He came into the world of humans, He came by being sent. Jesus said, I have been sent. In John chapter 3, verse 17, it also says that the reason why God sent His Son to the world, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And so angels were sent, and the Son was sent, but Son was with the Father. He is God Himself who came into the world. But to say that He was sent, why says that He was sent is because He needs to return. You have to be sent in order for you to be honorably returned, called back. And so so how scientific and how logical the Bible is, it's amazing. And so Jesus, when during His public life, there are many things that He did, but the work that Jesus did was the one who has sent Him, who is the one who sent Him, it is God Himself. So God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the Trinity God. The Trinity God, among the Trinity God, the Son was sent. The Father and the Son, they sent the Son, the Father and the Holy Spirit, they sent the Son in agreement. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they always have the same purpose. They work with the same purpose and with the same will. And the Son came. When the Son came, it wasn't, the Holy Spirit was not dozing off and said, oh, he went, he left. But He didn't say, oh, you should have sent me. But they sent the Son in agreement, because the Son, He came in flesh. And so He came into the world of human, in the world where humans were. So even though Jesus was born in flesh and He ate together with men and He slept together with like men, but during His public life, what He tried to put into them was that the Father, I and the Father who sent me are the same. In John chapter 12, it says that the one who believes in me does not believe in me only, but the one who has sent me. So He said, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who believes in me does not believe in me only, but the one who sent me. And whoever accepts me does not accept me only, but the one who accepts the one who sent me. And so Jesus, He repeated this again and again, that those who have rejected me do not reject me, but the one who has sent me. And so He has made Himself equal with God, the one who has sent Him. And so when people said, how can you prove this? When they said, how can you prove this? Jesus said, the one who whom God has sent speaks the word, speaks his word. And so in John chapter 12, verse 49 and on, he says that, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say what all that I have spoken. And I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." So Jesus, he did not come to do his will, and he did not come to speak his will, but his words, but he came to do the will of him who sent me. And I have come to speak the words of him who has sent me. And so Jesus constantly said this. And so he also said that the works of the creator, he raises those who were dead and walking on water. It is only kind of works that the creator could do. And he brought to life so many who were dead, and he healed so many who were sick. And Jesus said, this is evidence that I have been sent. The one who has sent me is the Father. And he said that eternal life in John chapter 7, it says that eternal life is this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And so the true God, it is not knowing them separately, but it is knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And so eternal life is knowing that Jesus Christ is the one who the only true God has sent. So if we know God as the true God, if we know the only true God and Jesus Christ as separately, we cannot have eternal life. But we need to believe that he is the one God, that he is the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And so we need to believe this in order to have eternal life. And so I need to save my voice because I have a long way to go. So please respond in loud voice. So what did I say eternal life is? Eternal life is that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, and knowing them as one. We need to, we can have eternal life by knowing them as one. And so the Jews, they said, we cannot let this go. We cannot allow this. How can he say that he's a man? He was born as a man. And how can he say that he is a creator? I mean, he is worthy to die. And so they handed him over to death. And on the cross, Jesus died. And as he died, he said, "It is finished." To say it is finished, he was referring to that he did according to the command of the Father who has sent him. And he has completed the work that the command has given him. And so because he finished it, he said, "It is finished." And he died according to the command of the Father who sent him. And after he died, he said, He committed his spirit into the hands of the Father. To commit his spirit to the Father means that he completed the work of the Father, and he has died. And so he asked the Father to receive my spirit honorably. And so he completely destroyed the devil who left his domain on his own, and he redeemed the all mankind by his blood. And from his flesh that tore, his blood shed, and those who believe, that blood enters into the spirit of those who believe. And that blood needs to flow like a river. That blood cannot stay still, but that blood needs to move. That blood needs to move through the veins. And what that means is that that we need to be sent. Say amen. If I have the blood of Jesus, if I have the blood of Jesus, then I have to go where I have been sent. And so he completed this work through his blood by being sent. The reason for death, the reason for death for among mankind, most of it is whether it's cancer or whatever it is because the blood is not flowing well. But if I have the blood of Jesus, the moment I believe in Jesus, if we don't have the mission of being called to be sent, then that person is as if they are dead. And so Jesus, because he completed his work, he resurrected and he ascended to heaven, and he is the Lamb who sits on the throne. And to say that he is the Lamb It means that he has the marks of being slain, that he died and he resurrected. And because he resurrected, he was ascended to heaven. And so what that means is he was sent from God, and now he has returned. He has been called back. He has been sent back. And he now sits on the throne, the honorable throne. And after a few days, he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes to the church. And what does the Holy Spirit do in the church? The Holy Spirit, he calls. On the Lord's Day, he calls to church. On the Lord's Day. If we believe that Jesus resurrected, that I believe in Jesus and that he was called, that he was sent by God and he resurrected, if we believe in this, then we are called to church. And that's why we start our service by being called. We start our worship service with praise that we have been called. And after being called, we give, the pastor says, the pastor gives a benediction. Benediction saying, may the grace of Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, and sends you off. So you say, oh, please send us off quickly. Yes, I will send you, but it is not to send you to go home and to rest. But now that you are, now that the service is over, when the soldiers are gathered together, in their different units, they are given commands and they are sent off. They are sent off into their units and to go out into to the battlefield. And so, do you want to be sent then? We can't forget that I have been sent, because we need to be sent in order for us to be able to be called back. Those who have not been sent and those who just linger here, they can never be called back. And so, the missionaries are sent. Missionaries are sent off to places distant from where the church is. And so when they go off to serve in mission places, they are not sent off because they graduated from a theological school, but they are sent because in 2 Corinthians as well, they say the church has chosen, the church chooses, and they send them off to selected areas. And so they need to be officially be called and be sent off in order for them to be called official missionaries. And so there are missionaries who are sent, but there are also, in the past, there were missionaries who were sent alone, but there were a lot of, there were very low successful rates. So there are groups who are sent to support the missionaries. And so there are those who are sent to teach the word of God, and there are those who are sent to evaluate the people of that area, and there are those who are sent to make money to support the church and to support the mission. And so there are many groups who are sent to support and build up a church in that place. And so if they are sent to a foreign land to support the missionaries or to do the work, they are all called missionaries. But if you are not sent, after the benediction, we are sent off to evangelize wherever we are. And so the reason why we need to evangelize is in Romans chapter 10. Whether in season or out of season, whether it is raining or snowing, whether it's hot or cold, even if hardships and persecution wait me, it says in Romans chapter 10 from verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So if you call out the name of Jesus, if you believe that his name is the name of the Savior, and that he has redeemed us, and that he has shed his blood, and that if we receive his blood, that we become his child. Summing that all up, we say everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so calling on his name is very important, but you have to believe it in order to call out. So if you don't believe, then it says that how can they call on the one they have not believed? So they need to believe. In order to believe, you need to hear. And in order to hear, there needs to be someone preaching to them. In order for someone to preach, they have to be sent. And in order for those to be sent, it says in the Bible that the Holy Spirit sends them. And the church sends them. And so where has the Holy Spirit come from? The Holy Spirit also has come from the Father, because he was sent from God. And so if it is truly God's will that he saves even just one more soul, then and we need to do this work. We have to be sent. We have to be called, and we have to be sent out, and we have to do the work of saving souls. And so we need to take on our mission. Say, I am a missionary. I am one who is called to do my mission. And even from our church, there are so many who have been sent. There have been so many people, very strange people, who think that they have been sent, who said that they heard voices. And so there was someone who used to work in a fish market in the past in our church. One day he said that he heard a voice. He heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he said, I am not going to go to work anymore. And he went to the stores of our church members, and with a big black bag, he would put up a big black bag on a small table of someone's store, and he would say, Lord, Lord, I have come. I have been sent, and let this family be saved. And so because he did such things, people got the wrong idea, and they said, oh, I shouldn't go to church because of this. But first we have to say, I have been sent. Don't only say that I have been sent, but I need to remember that I have been sent, and there is one who sends me, and I speak according to the one who has sent me. So first we have to always remember that I have been sent. So if a soldier is sent off, his mission is to fight, and that is his work. But if a soldier just leaves his unit on his own and goes to a bar and gets drunk, then he will be dishonorably discharged. But to be sent means that I have no public life. So if I don't have a public life, then what do I do? How do I work? So I said before that when missionaries are sent, a group is sent with them in order to work in that neighborhood and to make money and to support the work of the missionary. Am I such a person? Am I a member of the mission? Am I a member of the missionary? I may not be the head. I may not be the representative, but I go and work there in order to support the missionary. In order to support the mission, I go out to support the mission. Am I such a person? So there is no me. And I can say this because I lived such a life. And so I believe that I need to live such a life. So I lived such a life. And so our life, the priority in our life needs to be not forgetting that who sent me and speaking the word of one who sent me. So it is not making coarse jokes or doing useless talk, but it is to do the work of establishing the nation of Jesus Christ and establishing, building up the church. And so what Jesus said that I may not lose one that he has sent me. So I didn't have any method to save those who are far away, but what I believed was that I believed in this verse in John 6:39, that it is the will of him who sent me that I shall lose none of all those who has given me, but raise them up at the last day. And so until the day he returns, I need to stay in my place. I need to remain in my domain. I cannot move wherever I went as I please. But even the soldiers, they have to remain in the unit that they have been called, and they need to die in the unit that they have been called. And let me not be like the devil who has left his proper domain on his own, and he will be judged. Let me be one. Let us resolve to remain in our duty and be called back. And so in the past, we say Zoa International Conference, but in the past, we used to say Zoa Mission. but it is actually Zoe's mission. It is a mission to give life. And so today, the serving teams will go to the place of Zoe and serve, but those who the secondary team, they will remain and prepare as well. So we need to resolve. We need to determine to serve as one who has been given the mission to serve. I need to have that determination to serve. And because I was preparing to give the sermon of mission, I happened to watch the movie Mission on YouTube. And so in that movie Mission, there is a person, I've heard in the past that there's someone who plays an oboe. And so when I searched up the movie Mission, there is a scene where this person named Gabriel, he plays the oboe and plays this song. And so there is, in South America, there is a really great waterfall. So there is a scene where in South America, there is a great waterfall, and it's about, in the movie, where the waterfall is, it is the cliff is 90 degrees. And so this missionary named Gabriel, he climbs up the 90 degrees cliff in order to, they say it's about 70 feet tall. And so that means that it is even higher than this building. And so he climbs up this four-story tall cliff, and he climbs up, and at the top of the cliff, at the top of the waterfall, he brings out this flute, this recorder kind of thing, recorder kind of instrument, a wooden instrument. And he starts playing it. It's not an oboe, but it looks like it. And when he starts playing it, it sounds so heavenly. And as he's playing his instrument, his face had this this expression of fear. And so as I was listening, it sounded like a very heavenly music, heavenly tone. And little by little, around him were the natives that started to surround him. And as he looked up, he saw these people surrounding the villages, the native villages surrounding him with spears in their hand. And he saw them, even though he saw them, he continued to play. And the chief of that village, the natives, they said something. And when he said something, they took his recorder and they broke it in half. But the natives who first came and saw him play, they picked up the recorder that the chief commanded to break, and they tried to put it together, and they expressed with their body language that he can't play it anymore. And so they took this missionary to their village, and the movie ended. But the title of this movie is called The Mission. And he played, this man, Gabriel, he played the oboe. But why did he go there and play this oboe? He played this oboe in order for him to gather people. Because if people hear the sound, people will gather. But he also knew that people will try to kill him, because he already heard and knew of missionaries being killed by the natives there. And even though he knew this, the reason why he climbed up he climbed up the waterfall, the cliff, and he played his oboe was because he basically invited death to come to him. And so as I listened, as I watched, I thought of Jesus. So I thought of Jesus. As soon as Jesus appeared, he started his public life. Why did he make the noise of calling the Jews, of saying what he said? Because by hearing what he said, he would call the attention of the Jews, and he would make them hear what he had to say. And because of that, because of what he said, he was caught and he was put to death. But in the movie as well, the missionary, he was taken to their village, and soldiers of other nations came for the missionary, and there were wars and there were fights going on and many people died. But so the movie Mission, he is martyred by trying to say, teach the people of God, teach the people about God and the gospel. And just like that, Jesus, he was sent from the Father. So Jesus, he spoke of many things that would cause him to be killed. And in that, eventually he was killed. And this pattern, he showed his pattern, he showed his pattern of being sent from the Father and doing the command of the Father and being killed and being honorably called back. If I have been sent from God, then I need to go out into the world and to speak the words that the world doesn't want to hear. To say, believe in Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus, then you will go to hell. Because Jesus will return. That if you live however you want like this, then you will go to hell. We need to say words that strike them even. And so we need to awake them. We need to say these things so that we can call people, draw people close to hear the word of truth and teach them word of truth, so that in the day, in the end, when our Lord Jesus Christ returns, that when he will call us honorably, and that I will be able to join in that group when he calls honorably. Let us pray.